Let me ask you a question. Why do you read the Bible? Let me ask you another question. Do you read the Bible? That one, I should have led with. Because I just recently was listening to a blog, and how many Christians today? Is it 95,000? Okay. So we'll say 95,000. And out of that 95,000, only about 20% actually read their Bible. That's pathetic, isn't it? Some of you probably read Sports Illustrated more than that. Motor Trend, Hot Rod. Whatever it is, you probably read that more than you read your Bible. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. No, I don't really care either anymore. We're getting away from the Word of God. The Word is what sustains us. We had nothing to hold us last year but the Word. You prayed for us. But it was the Word of God in us that was able to sustain us. Without the Word, you'll fall for whatever anybody throws at you, right? If I tell you I'm wearing a black shirt because I try to twist the Word, you'll believe it if you don't have the Word or the truth in you. So why do you read the Word? Let me get my notes. Do you read it for encouragement? Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I get the feeling like I'm overwhelmed, I can read. Sometimes you can go to Psalms and read. David was overwhelmed a lot. Wisdom. Not all the wisdom is locked up in Proverbs, is it? Look in the Word. Knowledge. Sometimes we do like to get knowledge. I personally like facts in the Bible. I was great at Bible trivia because I retained all of those. How about help? Cry out to God, Lord, I need your help. I need you. Do you ever notice how when you open up your Bible, he'll take you to someplace you needed? They discovered out of that, I forget the percentages now, because they had notes in front of them. And I was driving while listening to this, so I could not make notes. But the percentage that only read their Bible, that read their Bible four or more times a week, was like, what, one? We'll give it 1.5% out of 95,000 people. Four or more times a week. That is sad for believers. Because the majority of them, maybe once a week, maybe once a month. There's nobody in here who's too poor to own a Bible. And if you are, I will give you one. I have three really nice ones in there in the back. They're used. I don't want a new used Bible. I want a new one. There's no difference between a used Bible and a new Bible. It's already broke in. I love mine. I mean, I got one to replace this because the binding, the spine let go and all that stuff for several years ago. But this Bible, it's tied to me somehow. If I'm thinking of a scripture, I go in there and say, Lord, why did this open to right where I needed it, what I was looking for? Oh, wait a minute. It's because the Holy Spirit was leading me. Why do we not read the Bible more? Well, it's antiquated. It's outdated. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, if you live long enough, you can see that it is absolutely not. Anybody teaching that is a liar. And I will tell them to their face they are a liar. Because the Word of God has not changed. Because the Word of God is just as relevant today in our lives as it was when they started writing it. Well, you know, it's got errors. It's got this. They're not actually proved, and there are some things we don't understand. I'm like, Lord, I don't get that. But I don't, it's not for my time to understand that just yet. So, in 2 Timothy, Paul's starting to write to Timothy. Timothy is a spiritual son of Paul's. He's taken him under his wings to guide him. Timothy, however, is a pastor. He's not the apostle that Paul is, but he loves God, and he's a young man. And so Paul starts to tell Timothy, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. There's a lot of people, they like to talk in circles. They like to tell you great, grandiose things without the word of God to back it. I don't care what theory you have. If you have the word, I'll listen. But if you do not give me word and you just start preaching without ever using the Bible, I'm done with you. That's all there is to that. I don't want to hear grandiose ideas and you throw Jesus' name in it. Because I'm going to show you something here in a little bit. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The King James puts it this way, study to show yourself approved, acceptable to God. Now, I'm going to ask you to judge yourself. If you were to be judged by God right now on your Bible reading, on your time, you get in there and you look in the word, would God approve? Would he approve of you right now? I'm not saying you've got to get down and know the ancient Hebrew. The Strong's will get the point across enough. And there are some translations that have already done pretty doggone close, but some of them are being proved now that they take out words that show the divinity, that show the power of God. Thomas Jefferson didn't like the miracles. He thought they were fake. He wrote his own Bible and read it. He believed his own doctrine. Sorry, he did that. But here it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why rightly dividing? Because FYI, let's establish this fact right here, right now. Let me get there. He's talking about that part of the Bible, not this part. That part. That's Genesis to Malachi. He is not speaking of 2 Timothy. He is not speaking of anything else but the Old Testament. So we're to rightly divide that word of truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is given to us to reveal truth, right? That's what Jesus said, and he will guide you in all truths. And he will show you things to come. Well, we instantly jump on it. Well, he's going to show us what the future holds. I really don't want to know what the future holds. I really don't. I don't want to know the day or moment I'm going to die. I don't care about that. I care about what God is saying about our life, how I can be a victorious overcomer. Because Paul's the one that said, we are more than overcomers. We're, the word is hooper something, but it means super. It means we're above. We are supermen in Christ. We have the power and the ability. Guess where Paul got that? By rightly dividing the word of truth. To rightly divide is to see Christ and God's grace in Scripture. God's grace was present in the beginning. Because Noah found grace. Abraham found grace. Believe it or not, so did Moses. And he's the one that brought the law. David found grace. They all found God's grace. Regardless of the narrative, i.e. the law, history, or wisdom, or prophecy. You're to find Christ. You're to find God's grace in all this. Why would God give us the law if we can't live by it? To show us we could not live by it. We chose to break a law in the very beginning. Now, there are some people who believe that the fruit had power. I'm not one of those. Okay? And this is in our own house. Okay? I'm not doing this to embarrass my wife because you probably agree with her. Sheer disobedience is its power of itself. I walked out on the porch the other day. Her Mother's Day gifts were out there on the porch. The boys bought her ferns. They were sitting on the porch by a post. There were two that were knocked down. They're in the flower beds upside down. I'm like, I just put them there. And I look over, and there's my dog. Yes. He knocked them off, and he knew instantly that he was wrong. How do you think Adam and Eve felt when Adam ate that? It says their eyes were opened. Busted, right? You're going down the highway, 90 miles an hour down 71, and what's in the middle of the median? A silverback. That's what they call those now. And you just, your heart drops into the seat. You're like, oh, Jesus. Woo, here come the blue lights. You knew you're busted. That, I believe, is what sin did. That was the power it had. It was the fact that it was its own power, disobedience. There could have been. I don't know. I wasn't there. I never ate the fruit. I just knew every time I did something I was told not to do and got busted for it. Some of y'all know that position quite well, especially you teachers. You're busted, right? So we rightly divide the word of truth. We find God's grace. We find Jesus Christ even in Genesis. We find Jesus Christ in Proverbs and in the Psalms. We find him in the law. The law of God was not given to bring us righteousness because it could not. Paul clearly stated it. The law could not do this. But it was for those who rejected grace and God's mercy in their life, and they could not live by it. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. God corrected me on this. I had every right to call out Mark Driscoll and John Lindell. That's what they're doing. Paul did it. I didn't want to start gossip. But you know what? They crossed the line when they kept doing it. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow some of their faith. They're causing people to trip up in their faith because now what they're saying is the only resurrection you got to look forward to is baptism. That's not what the word says. In the end, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those others. These guys were going around teaching, oh, no, that's not going to happen now. You're dead forever. There will be no resurrection. And so what they did is they crept into the body of Christ and they started teaching falsehoods. But people would not sit down and judge rightly in the word. When it came to the word of God, I'm going to promise you right now, out of all of them, to and include the disciples, I trust what Paul had to say about the word. Why? Paul was a student of the word his entire life. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. The man probably had the scriptures memorized. If there was somebody who knew the scriptures, it was the Apostle Paul. Because it was his life. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this sealed. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you know God, you're seeking God. When you read the Bible, ask him, show me Jesus. especially if you're in the Old Testament. Because, you know, you get Matthew through John there, you're kind of seeing Jesus. Lord, here's the one I love. Father, show me you. He said, I already did in my son. Because Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. So you see the Father's heart when you read your Bible. God's heart was always to give people grace and mercy, but they rejected it. It's not because we would never tell a lie, right? It was bound to happen at some point. But God's mercy and his grace would have been prevalent instead of legalism. But we get legalistic today, in which we split hairs on what is deceitful. Basically, it's what he was saying, by the way. When you choose to deceive, you're not truthful. There's no truth in you when you start deceiving people. We know, most of us know the little saying, oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. It's going to catch us. You're going to get caught in your web of lies. I need to make sure I'm on my track. So now here's where I wanted to go. In the beginning, where at? In the beginning. Does that sound familiar to anybody else? Genesis 1:1 maybe? John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Bingo. Day one. The Word was there. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything ever created was made through Jesus Christ. The tree of life was made through Jesus Christ. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was made through Jesus Christ. The law was made through Jesus Christ. That's going to kick you in a little bit. I've been praying on this. I'm like, Lord, show me some, open this up to me. And he started showing me this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He's not obviously talking about this light and lack of light. He's talking about your comprehension of the Word. If you don't get the Word, it means you're in the dark. And all being in the dark is without God. Because if we go back to Genesis 1, we read, and God said, let there be light. Most of you have caught this. The sun was on the third day. You know what happened? God showed up on the scene. And the light overtook everything. And night became because he left. And he came back the next day, and he lit it up again. He revealed himself. But then he created the sun, restored it, whatever he did. The moon to rule by night. And we know that the moon is merely a reflector now, right? That's all it does. And as much powerful as the moon was a couple weeks ago, it came over. It did not entirely block out all of the light. The devil has been trying to block out the light of God for so many years, trying to get us to fight amongst ourselves over, as Paul called them, babblings. Let me finish up. Oh, I am finished there. So the word is logos. It means to speak intelligently. I love that part because I don't always. It means to speak intelligently. It means to have a purpose with what you're speaking. Intelligence, word as the expression of that intelligence. And God said, we know God operates by faith. Boom. He created this. Boom. He called forth the land to arise in one section. Anybody noticed we aren't one section anymore? But yet our puzzle kind of fits together. It just continues to prove. And all those people trying to say, well, you know, this has happened over, it happened violently and quickly. The Bible says water came from above and water came from below. Where did the water come from above? It didn't rain. Well, if you continue to reading and God said, well, I'll divide in the firmament, water above and water below. And he washed it all away. And the word became flesh. The very word, the very spoken words of God, Jesus Christ, everything spoken, he became flesh and he walked amongst us and dwelt among us, and he beheld, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember, every word spoken by God, from Genesis to Malachi, was represented in Jesus Christ with full grace and truth. The truth is the revelation of what all this was about. Not that we can go back and live it. He'd already proved we can't live the law. That was the whole point of the law. You will break it. You will violate it. You got a pimple? Get out of town. All you teenagers, see ya. That was the law. It was so ridiculous to show us that we could not live by law. I see a speed limit sign. Me and Sammy Hagar have something in common. I can't drive 55. I got to set it at 60. Don't know what it is. It's got to be 60, not 55, not 56, 60. Thank God for the mercy of the patrol. Otherwise, it would be a different story.
Well, brother, sounds like you and God need to have a talk about your speed. Okay, how about your turn signals?
Yes. How about you stopping at the line, not four car lengths in front of it? If we're going to get legalistic, let's get stupid. Right? How about your bald tires? We don't like it when the law comes back and slaps us. How about the car that you ran in front of? Assured clear distance? I'm pretty sure that's a charge. I had a friend who took his pickup truck in high school on County Road 22, the Waterford Road side of it. There was a bridge. It was always called Red Bridge. It was always rust brown as long as I'd ever been swimming there. But it was a single lane bridge. He took his pickup truck sideways through it. He was going so fast, he hit that first bump. And I can vouch for you, that first bump is a doozy because that was part of my bus route. And if you sat on the other side of the fender or the tires, your little 40-pound butt was getting launched to the ceiling. And I always got yelled at every time. I'm like, then slow down. That wasn't a good thing to say either. But you know what they got him? Reckless driving. His idea was, what do you mean reckless? I took my truck through there sideways and straightened it up and drove home. But we'll do whatever we want with the law, right? It's what Jesus came to say. You can't fulfill the law. He was the only one able to fulfill the law. And guess what? If you're picking up on what I just said, he became the law. That's how he fulfilled it. He became law for us. He fulfilled it, fulfilled its requirements. And it was done forever. Yay! We can go sin more. No. That's what Paul said. No. Just because grace abounds more abundantly where there's more sin doesn't mean we go sin more. But that's what we like to do. Well, I don't need that. I don't need that. The Holy Spirit is speaking into your ear saying, hey, don't do that. Quit looking at her. Lester Summerall told Mark Barclay one time, they were sitting in a mall. Mark was a young preacher then, and he's sitting over in a mall in Indiana, and a pretty woman walked by, caught his attention. He said, "Don't know what happened, but I looked up, looked at her, looked over at Lester Summerall. He's looking at me. He says, "I'm so sorry, brother." He said, "No, if you look once, you're a human, you're a man. You look twice, you got a problem." He always remembered that. I've always remembered that. I always told people, I said, I recognize more people from their butts. No, I laid underneath trucks all day, and people would come up, and all you saw was from the butt down. You started recognizing people by their boots, their pants, and their butts. "Oh, hey, Gomez, what's going on?" The Word became flesh. The law became flesh, and he fulfilled it so we wouldn't have to live it, because we can't. We will fail it every time. We want to know how to live. Well, how do I live every day? By every Deuteronomy 8. So he humbled you, allowed you to go hungry, and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every mouth, by every word, I'm getting ahead of myself, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We don't live just by food. We have to live by every word. I live that when God said, "Let there be light," I read the word to encourage my faith. I read the word to direct my paths. And I had gotten out of the habit of just reading the word to feed me. I read the word because when I get in, I study. And so God has corrected me on that and said, just read it. So I try every day to just read. Now, I encourage you to do that. "Oh, Pastor, you just don't know. I have a short attention." Just read a few verses. Nobody said you had to read the full chapter. I'm going to tell you, when you get into the minor prophets, there's going to be days you read entire books. I love the minor prophets. Nahum, Micah, Malachi. It's like, wow, I just did 3 books out of 66. That's great. I did it in one sitting. But I encourage you to break it up, because when you get to Psalm 119, there's 176 verses. Pace yourself, because there's a lot in that psalm. Psalm 119:11, "Your word have I hid in my heart." Your word. A man who found God's grace under law said, "I have found your word, and I don't want to sin against you, Lord." But he ate the showbread. Right? It was in the temple, in the tabernacle. But he ate it. God's like, "That's okay. That's not a sin against me. It was one of those frivolous, stupid things that you guys like. We like that stuff. Oh, we can't have drums in the church. They draw the demons, don't you know?" I've heard that teaching when I was young. "Oh, that beat, it just attracts the demons." No, it doesn't. It's a beat. Like I told, we have had demonic people in here before. 3 for a fact that I know of, maybe more, that we started seeing manifestations. Phil and I got to see one. Angela got to experience it. And that's when I told the ushers, I said, "Beware. We may have us a full-on dealing today." I saw one man's eyes black as coal. Didn't know he had blue eyes. On Wednesday nights, we used to have a lady come in. Some of you remember. She sat right over here, danced like a serpent. And just standing over and sounding like, "What is going on with you?" The Holy Spirit never jumped up and said, "Go cast a demon out of her." Because it was a religious demon. That's one of the hardest to get rid of. They love churches. That's why it felt it could start. It was trying. But we began to pray against things, and I began to pray, and we've began to pray even more so now about spirits that try to operate things that God does not want. We said, Lord, we bind them in Jesus' name. They will not manifest. They will not come forth and disrupt your word. We pray for peace and for understanding for people of the word of God. But I did not fully understand what that woman was doing until a couple weeks ago when I watched a video of a demon being cast out of a person, and it was a woman. She did the exact same dance. I was like, Lord, I've seen that in our church. And the woman didn't go here. She just showed up. We've had that a few times. But man cannot live by bread alone, but by every mouth word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I can't live by the law, but I can find God's grace. When he said, thou shalt not covet. Because if I covet what Pat's got, question is, am I willing to pay the price Pat paid? Pat retired at 55. A lot of us are kind of jealous. But I happen to know the man put a lot of money into a savings account, in his retirement accounts, and he planned for it when he was young. My family was live by the seat of your pants. Doesn't always work out. Are you willing to pay the price? They are. So I shall not covet. Lord, you know what I want. Yeah, he did. He gave me my little piece out there and said, now fix it up. I'm happy. Don't have to have anything. And I don't have the stress of maintaining 150 acres with a 20-acre lake. I'll just go somewhere else, to somebody else's 20-acre lake. Second Timothy, Paul continues to edify Timothy. And he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. He's talking obviously about himself. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. His mother and grandmother were both prophets. And Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures. Again, pay attention. Holy Scriptures. This is a letter he's writing to a friend. Now, we made it Holy Scripture back in about 300 AD, somewhere in that neighborhood. But to Paul, he was just writing to a friend to encourage him. He said, but through those same Holy Scriptures, again, this is the man who taught more on the grace and the Holy Spirit than any preacher on the planet, to include today. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All he had was the encouragement. He didn't have the book of Galatians. He didn't even have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not die. Or 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world may be saved. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, let me say something here. A lot of people go, well, this was said, and this was something God has had to pull me out of. Just because somebody said it didn't mean it was God saying it. Well, it says right here. Well, okay. But, because I've shared before when I taught about Job. And Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I was raised for nearly 30 years hearing teaching that Job was wrong. And yet the word right after that says, and in all these things, Job did not sin. Oh, by the way, somebody else who found grace, God's grace? Job. He was a Gentile. And Job, coincidentally, is the oldest book in your Bible, written before Moses wrote Genesis. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We have to rightly divide. We have to look into the Word with the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the truth to us. People who get into the Word and they start reading Word, they get legalistic. Oh, we got to live by the law. No, you cannot live by the law. Because if you try to, well, I'll live by these. No, you're now in violation of all. Well, how do you mean? Again, remember that pimple I told you about? That one stupid little thing. God took it down to such what we'd call idiocy. He made it marine proof. He's like, you Marines ain't going to figure this out. You're always guilty. We're always guilty. Find my grace. Paul even cried out, Lord, take this thorn in my flesh. This thing was given to me by the devil. We don't know what it is. I've told Angela, I said, I have my thoughts. You probably got your thoughts. But I do not believe it was just somebody that sat in the back of the room and made faces at him. I think it went a little deeper than that because it was something that caused Paul such great discernment that he said, I went to the Lord three times. And Jesus spoke to me three times and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I am strong. Is what he told him. Why does anybody think they can go back and live the law? Paul was a man who had something that was causing him problems because he knew whatever it was wrong. He said, trust me, my grace will get you through and you will overcome. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to know how to be righteous? We are righteous in him because of Jesus Christ, but you need to know what he fulfilled. He became our righteousness. We are now holy as he is holy. But our flesh is not saved. Our flesh still loves the fleshy stuff. It still likes, they ran a red light. Get them. I followed a guy into Galleon last night who, we were coming down 598. And I think just after the school, he went left of the line three times, jerked sharply, went all the way to the right, came over to the left a couple more times, and I have no problem calling the cops on people like that. That guy was clearly drunk or high. I'm like, I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, we all drift, right? You just cruise down the road next year. This guy was not, and I pulled up beside him, and he looked stoned. And I'm sitting there, I'm on the line, and he's way back, and all of a sudden he jumps forward. I'm like, dude, what's going on? I'm thinking, because I'm waiting for him to decide, oh, I don't want to turn left. Again, no turn signal. And I'm waiting for him to cut me off. He goes through there, and my spirit was like, do I call? And I said, Lord, just protect people from him. Well, the turn lane kept going, and this one vehicle came flying through that. Trying to get through that intersection. He was the popo. He saw it. And he was going after him. I said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't have to get legalistic on him. But you know the reason why I was getting legalistic on that? Had nothing to do with legalism. It's the fact I don't want him killing you or your family or somebody else. Just all there is to that. There's a reason we don't drink and drive. Pot used to be legal back in the 20s. Too many people were driving high, so they outlawed it. Tried to outlaw alcohol and all that other good stuff, too. Sinful stuff. That's probably the wrong phrase to use there. But instruction in righteousness. You want to know? Hey, how about we read Proverbs? You got an overeating problem? Solomon said, if you're at the rich man's place and you got this problem and they present to you good food and cake and all this stuff, he said, put a knife to your throat. Back off. Bet you didn't know that was in there. Lord, I got a problem. My computer just keeps going to porn sites. Well, Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, whack. Okay. That is definitely extreme, right? OK. kind of need your hand to do things. You know what you do? Get rid of the stupid computer. Man has been around for a long time without computers. But I can't live. I can't do my job. Well, then you better do something else, because it will lead you down a road you can't come back from sometime. Or if you're thieving, you know, by the way, that's why they cut hands off in the Middle East. If you see a guy in the Middle East or India, anywhere over there, and he's just got a nub, he's a thief. He got caught with his hand in a cookie jar. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scriptures are given so that you can be a complete person. I know what we're seeing coming across in our southern border is not right. But it doesn't give us a right to treat people who are being paid by our government. Yes, I said that. It's my opinion. Who are being brought in for the wrong reasons, to treat them badly. And just because somebody doesn't speak your tongue doesn't give you a right, a self-righteous right, to badmouth them. My grandfather spoke Gaelic. Some of you spoke German. Some of you actually spoke British. French. Right? At some point, we all had to learn. We go overseas and we expect everybody to know English. What gives us the right to go to someplace else? I know Rob and Katie were talking about this the other day. They're in, what was it, the airport you were at? And nobody was there to be able to interpret. Rob's like, I have no idea what this is. I'll take that. So he gets it. He said, I thought it was meatloaf covered in. He said, it was raw meat. He said, it wasn't the tartar that I'm used to seeing. He said, they don't spell it the same. But you see, we have no right to go anywhere else in the world and expect them to learn our language. I had to learn some words in Russian to go to Ukraine. And then I found out how bad the Ukrainians really do not like the Russians. They do not. There's a few, there's communist sympathizers who just happened to be hosting my dinner that day. I'm like, Lord, does anybody know I'm in this little village that looks like it's out of the Middle East, because there's no trees and all of them are concrete buildings, broken down cars here and there. And I'm going to go in this building and the only person who knows that I'm here is 50 miles away. And he don't know what village I'm in. But you know what? I had to learn things. And the things I couldn't learn, my interpreter spoke. And even then there was times she's like, I don't understand. She's a college graduate. She says, I don't understand your phrase. Help me. So I had to stop in the middle of a message and try to help her to understand what I just said. And so we have no right, because Jesus said, or the word says, you shall not oppress the alien. What's happening is not right. But to be honest with you, we shouldn't be doing some of the things we're doing with our government anyhow. We take away responsibility for working. I got no problem. You want welfare? Listen, if I needed welfare, and I'll gladly go out and push a broom down the street. But you have no right to make fun of me. God will hold you accountable. Anyhow, nice weather we're having. So the whole point of the Word of God is for us to live a more righteous life. The whole Word. I know what John Bevere, who it was, and his son, they were talking about. He said, when I read the Word, I find I'm more victorious. I'm more thankful. He said, 4 days a week minimum, in order to handle it. So if you're going through some stuff in your life right now, get in the Bible. Ask God, where should I start? You don't have to start in Genesis. Maybe God will start you in Proverbs. But maybe God will start you in Psalms. Or he'll take you somewhere else because there's something in there he's got to say to you. Maybe he'll take you to Mark. possibly even Revelation. So when we get in the Bible, it encourages our faith. It builds us up. Whatever you're going through, I'm promising you, you get in the Word of God, and it will lift you up to live that righteous lifestyle that we're supposed to live. Yes, our spirits are righteous. We have been made new in Christ. Again, this flesh, it loves its sin. That's why it's so easy. Our eyes are flesh. Our mind is flesh. God was the one that said, I looked down and saw a man. He said, every thought they have of their heart is always evil. Well, he was talking about them. Really? Have you looked outside your door? We have people that think it's okay to rape kids in our country. We got people protecting those people because they got money. Every last one of them should swing if you want my flesh. Every last one of them, I don't care who the name that P. Diddy's going to drop. He said, if I'm going down, y'all going down. If I was him, I think I'd find me an island somewhere else to throw the rocks at. Because anybody's come against the Clintons, I wouldn't want to be a friend because they've had more friends die than anybody. But our government protects this. Why? Because the church has forgotten what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to stand for God. We're supposed to live. We don't read our Bibles. Seriously, when was the last time you opened it? I don't care how much you're reading. I still have my New Testament from boot camp. And I always carried it with me in the event I needed to read. But you know what happened? I didn't read it. Next thing you know, pornography showed up. Alcohol showed up. Strip clubs showed up. My platoon sergeant said, Woody, aren't you a Christian? Words you don't want to ever hear. My reply, I'm backslidden. I wasn't going to lie about it. He caught me dead to rights. But I repented. And one day he found out where I was at Lejeune, a little bit before I got out, and he came to see me. He had become a warrant officer. It was a little odd saluting a man I used to drink with, calling by his first name. But he got to see me repented, not living like I was before. I'm going to ask you to stand. I know most everybody in here has said a prayer. I can't tell you how many times I gave my life back to the Lord. We had a prayer line up here last week for repentance. It was primarily for the repentance of things that we've allowed into our lives. I'm going to ask every head to bow right now, except the ushers. I'm going to give you the opportunity because I believe everybody in here has said a prayer. But if you want to say, Pastor, my walk has slipped. I'm doubting my faith. I want to give it back to God. Because if I don't, Paul wrote in Romans, the wages of sin is death. So if that's you, just stick your hand up. I told the Lord I would do these from time to time. All right. Just so you know, I'm not in charge of your walk. You are. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it does correct us. It does reproof us. It does instruct us, and it does encourage us. Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who became that in the flesh. He bore that. He bore the shame that came with it. And then he gave Paul such a great revelation of grace. And that the purpose you always had for man was to walk in grace. Never by law. But Father, we can't help in our flesh sometimes just to break the law. So Lord, I pray that you use your word. Speak to us. Get through the blockades in our mind. Father, I bind every spirit that would be doing its best to block us. I thank you, Father, that you're moving right now in each and every believer's mind, that you're helping them, Father, to overcome the obstacles. As Paul said, those things that so easily beset us. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving. Your Holy Spirit is moving. You're giving direction. You're redirecting. Father, you're instructing and re-instructing us on your grace, on your mercy, on how much you really do love us. Now, Father, I thank you for your people. I bless them all, Lord God. I speak life into their homes, life into their bodies. Mercy and grace shall follow them all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.